Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Yes, let's do that, announcer man. Wednesday edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Todd Archer says the Cowboys have reworked the contract of Terrence Steele, opening up $4.5 million in salary cap space. Add that to the cap space saved on Dak and the Lamb contracts this year, to the money that will most likely be carried over to next year. And Todd says that is $20 million plus.
Yeah, and that'll be stuff that they, like you said, if they're going to roll it over, that's going to be stuff they need just to be able to operate financially once you've paid two guys as much as you have. But this is all accounting stuff. I know whenever people see the switch get flipped, they're like, okay, is this, what move is coming? What veteran are they looking for? Probably nothing. Probably just trying to make sure that they can afford to survive.
Trayvon Diggs talking about Mike Zimmer's defense week one, quote, that was just a little sample. We got like 50 calls. We only probably ran like 3 of them. So that's Diggs talking about Zimmer. Zimmer yesterday was talking to the media, and they were asking him about Mozzie.
I think the number one thing with him, obviously he's playing a lot better. You know, there's still some areas that obviously he needs to keep improving on, but I think his confidence, you know, I've talked to him several times, and I just feel like, you know, he feels better about himself and the things that he's able to do. And, you know, typically our nose tackle isn't a superstar. He's a guy that does a bunch of dirty work. And I think he feels okay doing those things. He had a couple of really nice rushes the other day with some long arms on the center. He played the center in the running game good. So, you know, I think the more that he has success, the more confidence he'll have.
I don't love hearing that, the confidence, the C word. Like, you look at Kalen Carson out there, and it's like, all right, he thinks he's a baller.
Yeah, he got confidence.
He believes out there, and his confidence is just better. It sounds a little fragile.
It's the same question that's teetering right now on the Tristan Hill question. Like, what are you going to be? Are you going to be Tristan Hill, or are you going to actually put it together? Are you going to, you know, find some stability? And that's things that – he hangs his head a lot at practice. It's gotten better, but you see him hanging his head a lot, and that can be troubling.
Defensive players, I mean, that's so much of that is about confidence. Like, it's such an instinctive, because confident guys generally are just instinctive, and then the guys who are not are more cerebral, but
he just gets in his head, it seems position. Like. He seems like he gets in his head a lot. You don't want it to become Michael Gallup.
Highest graded linebackers from week one, according to PFF, Fred Warner, Logan Wilson 2, DeMarvion Overshown 3 with an 88.6 grade. Fred's was a 92.6.
I have no idea how Logan Wilson played, but I know Fred Warner and DeMarvion Overshown were good. So good job, PFF. You got one. Good
there
for you.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on DFW Sports Station. Looks like the Cowboys, this is from, I believe, from John Owning, who does nice work. Looks like the Cowboys are going to continue to assault defenses with CeeDee Lamb in the slot. 30 snaps from the slot and just 15 out wide versus Cleveland. So that was the snap count on CeeDee Lamb. We talked to Jerry Jones about him yesterday. CeeDee Lamb caught up with Kay Adams and talked about Dak getting paid. And I really liked hearing this is a smart, intelligent football comment and decision by Lamb, being cognizant of who his quarterback is going to be for his stud days.
Yeah, most def. Needed it. I didn't want to start over, and I don't want to go through the whole quarterback carousel situation. And he's the leader of this team. Like, everything goes through Dak. He has the keys to the offense. He has the keys to how we move and how we present ourselves. And the first thing you think about when you see the Cowboys is Dak Prescott, because he's the quarterback of our team. And he does a great job of, you know, keeping a great look on himself, keeping his composure, mentally being locked in, and again, leading us to the promised land.
Was CeeDee bluffing in his negotiation? I guess the biggest thing that went viral yesterday from our interview with Jerry was at the very end when I asked him, why doesn't anyone demand a trade? Why doesn't a bridge get burned like in the NBA? And he's like, I've never seen a check not be able to wipe that frown off someone's face. Yeah. I'm paraphrasing. CD, were you bluffing? And his thoughts on Jamar trying to get his money?
The ink is dry, so now you can tell me. Would you have shown up if you didn't have a deal in place week one?
No.
What does that say about Jamar? I don't even know what to make of it. I don't know what to say.
It's not really. I don't necessarily say we have the same position. I mean, like we play the same position, but in the same position. Mm-hmm. But as for him, I feel like he's playing it right. He's doing it right, and all it's gonna take is one big game from him to show his worth. And obviously, week one is tough for us because we've been holding out. But once we get acclimated and bodies start getting back in the grind of things and playing football again, it's gonna pop out. I have no doubt that he's gonna have a great year this year.
He was totally willing to miss game checks.
So what did he mean though that they weren't in the same position?
I think he believes that they're in completely different positions in terms of, like, CD is into his expiring year. Jamar Chase is into his...
So they're going into year four.
Yeah, like, Jamar Chase still has contract time left. CD doesn't.
I get you. That makes sense.
So he said he's saying he would have missed week one. Mm-hmm. He would not have played.
He wouldn't. No, and that's... I talked to people after he signed, and they were like, yeah, the expectation within the Cowboys was if they didn't get it done, he was not going to show up. Like, the Cowboys were expecting that.
Do you talk to Micah about him being next up and getting his money?
Is it weird with Micah now? Like, what is that like? Do you just not talk about it at all?
Nah, we be talking about it.
Really?
Yeah, we talk about
it. What is he saying?
It's all jokes. It's all jokes until it's not. You know what I'm saying? So for us, it's just keeping the band together, to be honest. It's all keeping us all together. And, I mean, that's what happens when you draft well. it's going to be amazing, and I can't wait for him to get his bag well deserved. And but for us this year, we got to finish out the season. We got to play together. I want to be in New Orleans.
And that leads us into the question. That's what happens when you draft well. They've paid two out of the three top market money, the biggest contract in NFL history. Can we still call Jerry Jones frugal and cheap?
Well, in my opinion, he's never been frugal and cheap with players, right? He has a philosophy, signing his own versus signing others. That's just their philosophy. I don't think you ever could say he's frugal and cheap. He's indecisive. That much is evident, right? He's indecisive about, he made it sound yesterday that he was still evaluating Dak. I don't care how they want to spin it. That's how I took it. He is absolutely frugal and cheap, though, to me, when it comes to that's not the reason, but that is one reason why they don't have a GM. He doesn't want to pay it. And then the coaching thing. If Sean Payton, if they didn't have to give up any, if Mike McCarthy was in the end of his contract, and
that really bothers me if that's true.
If Mike was at the end of his contract and he didn't have another year, because Jerry's not going to pay you to sit on a beach. He's not going to do that. But let's just say that Sean Payton gets fired this offseason and Mike McCarthy's contract is expired. And Sean Payton says it's going to come.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Gosh, $18 million. Or Bill Belichick. What was Bill getting? $20 million from the Patriots? He's not paying that. I do not. I mean, he is going to pay a middling college salary for a player.
I don't know. He might, if it's Belichick or Peyton or something like that, and he was free, he might. But it's not like a thing where he's going to consistently want a competitive. He might pay something absurd to get one of those two. But it has to be somebody like one of those two.
One of them was just available.
No, I know. And I think
he wasn't going to pay Mike to sit on a beach.
That's the bigger thing. It's like, well, it's not $18 million to Bill Belichick. It's $23 million because it's $18 to Bill and it's $5 to Mike. And I'm not doing that.
But he did pay these contracts.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Has reset the market with a bunch of different positions over the last few years. The thing is, and I know this is a thought that a lot of people have, is that when they say, like, it's really difficult for anybody to be cheap when they have the salary floor and the salary cap in terms of, like, the money gets allocated and everybody's kind of in the same sort of way. But it does matter in terms of how are you dragged kicking and screaming to doing it. And for something that ultimately it's like, well, you paid exactly what everybody on these last two deals, you paid exactly what everybody projected you were going to pay. So why did it take so long? And what was that? What is the big reservation? It's you wouldn't believe the check I would write. Well, it sounds like, you know, you don't want to pay that check very often.
The National Football League is reviewing the Deshaun Watson complaint that we covered 24 hours ago. Another woman has come out with allegations of sexual assault in a massage type situation, or Deshaun allegedly turned a date into a massage type situation. But for now, he is still going to be available to play, not being put on any exempt list, but the league is going to investigate. Latest on Tyreek, Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, calling for the police officers to be fired. Not a surprise. And the police department in Miami putting out an interesting tweet.
Yeah, they did. They posted a tweet with a pic about speeding. And they're getting a little roasted. And then the tweet is, it's got a very Fast and the Furious kind of look with it. Same font, same exact font. And the tweet says, speeding is more than just breaking the law. The consequences are a greater potential loss of vehicle control, increased stopping distance, increased degree of crash severity. For more info, yada, yada, yada. And then it's got a graphic. And again, it is the Fast and the Furious like font. Going fast puts lives on the line. Speeding catches up with you. And people are like, what are we doing here? Yeah. Like, this is, like,
and
clearly.
And the speeding of Tyreek was apparently eyeballed.
Yeah, it was eyeballed. It was a visual. It's called a visual estimation.
60 and a 40, they're kind of guessing.
It was. They said it was about 60. And I was talking to a couple of police officers, wow, traffic cops, and they said that they have to get rated on that. Like, they can eyeball it. That holds up in court. Eyeballs are generally held. Plus, they can pace you. So once they get out, they can pace your car. And it also, it's not like, even if it's not an exact, if you're like, if it's a 30 or 40 and you're going 60, you could clearly tell that the guy's speeding without a radar. So it holds up. But it doesn't hold up because the public doesn't either. Either they don't know that rule, they don't understand that, or they just think it's BS. Right, because it's an unproved science compared to the radar.
You were talking about the Scottie Scheffler comparison yesterday. This one is not. This one hasn't totally played out the same way as Scheffler, right? Like, even though these cops have gotten criticized or have been, this one isn't even to the level of the way the cops were with Scheffler, right?
Well, no.
Where everybody had discounted the cops.
You're,
I feel like,
that
24
this one's
hours
worse.
Later. No, I feel like 24 hours later, everybody had said the cops were wrong, like, definitively. Whereas this one feels more split.
Well.
To me.
The cop with Scheffler did get punished.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, almost instantly people said that cop's wrong. And he had that statement about, I tore my pants and those are expensive pants. And
Tyreek went on CNN and he told them the reason he didn't roll down his window was because he didn't want to create a stir, that people would have noticed him. And
they noticed him.
Would have taken pictures and said, that's Tyreek Hill. I'm not buying that. He also said the reason he didn't sit down on the sidewalk is because of his injuries. He's a football player, surgery. You're on your way to play and you scored an 80-yard touchdown. You're the fastest guy in the National Football League. Was there any commentary yesterday, a reaction where you had an aha moment or you thought it was, very insightful or giving a take? I'm judging by your faces. The answer is no.
I didn't see anything insightful. I saw some stuff that made me say that person's an idiot and I'm unfollowing them. So
okay.
I don't have one of those.
I get what you're saying. Stephen A, I do have to give Stephen A credit. I know a lot of black people will call him a sellout. You're going on Fox News or you're with this and you're with that.
I think he shoots it pretty straight.
Yeah, I've always given him and Wilbon credit for, like, calling it like they see it. He brought up, I thought, an intriguing question saying, Tyreek, you're saying what if I wasn't Tyreek Hill? I'm looking at it the other way. What if you weren't Tyreek Hill? The way you acted could have been much, much worse, but they realized who you were. Think about it the other way, as he was saying, look, man, Shannon Sharpe and Dominique Foxworth were more blaming the police, and Stephen A. was saying, yes, overreaction, way too much, which I do think the way they yanked him out of the car was too much, but Stephen A.'s like, you didn't do it. You didn't act the way you said in terms of keeping your hands on the wheel and putting the window down and keeping it down. And he said, just do that. Do that instead. So that was the world's reaction yesterday that I saw to the Tyreek Hill situation. What is Deion Sanders saying about the song accusation? We got a little college football kegger during the hump day edition of Sean and RJ. It continues with the 6 a.m. club.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.